Hello there again. Is it all right if I sit down here in this chair? Yes, I brought my Bible with me again today, and you know we've been having a wonderful study, just like a home Bible study, in which we've been sitting down together in your home, either in your front room or around your dining room table, and talking about, well, living oracles. We've looked at the book of James in two lessons so far, in which we were talking about temptation. And I'd just like to review a little bit that you'll find temptation from the standpoint of that which comes from the outside, and also what is generated in the lusts in the hearts of men and women that comes from the inside. You'll find how to solve that problem, the first chapter of James. And then last time we talked about pure religion. You see, if there were couldn't be anything other than pure religion, then James wouldn't have defined it as being visiting the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keeping himself unspotted from the world, an obligation to God, and an obligation to our fellow man. And today we want to really get into a thought that's found in the second chapter here. I've been looking at verse 14 that I'd like to read to open our study today. James says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, all man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him?" Now one rendering on this expression or this question, "can faith save him," is, can that kind of faith save him? You see, to begin with, he pictures faith here as the foundation. And God has placed a foundation in our life where we can build our life upon that foundation. The first verse of the second chapter, if you're following in your text there, says, "My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord of glory, with respect to persons." These people had faith enough to become Christians. They'd been born again. But now how are they going to build their life? Are they going to build it upon faith? And, you know, a foundation has to be used properly. In the first place, it's put there with the idea in mind that what kind of a building you're going to put on it. I've often said a person's going to build a chicken coop, as the term might be used. He wouldn't have a foundation big enough to hold the Empire State Building. And vice versa, if he's going to have a tall building, you wouldn't just have a foundation large enough for a small building. So what he's telling him here is that now don't use your faith in a manner that's wrong. And here's an illustration by which you could use it wrong, by showing partiality with respect to persons. So that sets the tone for this teaching here. And he points out that our faith is going to be dead unless we have works. In fact, the last verse of the chapter seems to summarize it in saying, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." A lot of people are worried and concerned about the use of the word works. Or some people won't even talk about this, but I think we ought to talk about it. And I realize that we can't be saved by our own works of righteousness. Titus 3 and 5 is one of the prolific passages that proves that. Paul wrote to Titus and saying, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." Well, then someone says, how does works get into the picture? The first thing we must consider about works is what it really means here. The best definition I can find for the word works, as it is used in the second chapter of James, and it's used in a favorable sense here, would be the action or acts of our faith. You know, when you begin to think about action in the Christian life, you've got it from beginning to end. What are you going to do? What are you going to actually carry out in your Christian life that doesn't require action? But it isn't just any kind of action, see? In Ephesians, the second chapter, he said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, some people have considered there that he's talking about the works of the law of Moses. Whether you take that position or whether you just take it at any work of man, we have no reason to boast when we act for the Lord, because he's given us the plan. But here's the important point, that your faith, the scripture says, is going to be dead here unless you have that faith alive, unless you have it working. Now, here's an illustration tied in with verse 14. And as you're taking notes, of course, consider the entire chapter. But let's read that 14th verse again and then get the example that's used by James. I don't believe you can beat this one. "What doth it profit, my brethren, all man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Here's an example. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them," now notice this, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," that's what you say, "notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" It really doesn't profit anything. In fact, a man told me in the hill country of Missouri one time, he said, preacher, it'd make it worse. Here's a person that's hungry who doesn't have enough clothes, and you say, now be warmed and filled, and you fail to do anything for him. That makes the matter worse. You've called his attention to food. You've called his attention to clothing, the very thing that he needs. So here's a case of a person saying or talking a good religion. Can you imagine someone just hearing part of this and saying, do you know what this individual did? Here was someone that came to him that was hungry and clothed, and you know what he did? He just said to that person, be warmed and filled, and you just leave it there. You leave the impression, well, surely, if he said be warmed and filled, he'd follow through by helping the person. So see, the action of our faith is really works. Now, one good illustration of this brought out later in the chapter as well, in verse 21. Here's the point. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? You can see here was his action. He was told by God to offer that son. We talked about that the other week on the broadcast. Notice, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? See, his faith was made alive. It reached its potential there on that point by him doing the right thing. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And what I believe he's talking about here is just being able to say that I became a Christian, I obeyed the gospel, I'm standing on faith, I believe in the Lord. All of this is something that's coming forth from the mouth, and that's all right if you back it up with the action that's proper and right. Now, Abraham was a friend of God because he did the will of God. And I'm sure there's not a one of us that we're talking to today, and in this family circle type of study, I'm sure there's not a one of us in this home that we think about as we're talking to you on this broadcast today, but what realizes that you can't just talk a religion. You've got to follow it up with your works. Now, we're not talking about someone doing something of their own making to save their soul. We're talking about them having a living, vibrant faith. You see, this whole thing, even when we begin to think about believing in the Lord, requires that we have action. You know, I was quite concerned when I was thinking about that not too long ago, how that we can't even believe in the Lord, as the Bible teaches, without having action in our life. You know, I noticed what was stated there by John in his writing. He made this very clear, I think, in verse 28. Here's a question. They said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now, how are we going to do the works of God? How are we going to do this? Well, here's what is stated here by Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him in whom he have sent. So you can't really even believe in the Lord in a Bible sense without working. Now, there's a difference between, as I say, doing our own work. Someone says, well, I'm going to work my way to heaven. Now, the book does tell us in Philippians 2 and 12 that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But you've got to follow that with the 13th verse of that same chapter that said it's God that works in us and through us and with us to do his good pleasure. God's going to work with us. He's going to be with us. So it isn't the case that we're saying, Lord, I'm going to make heaven because I've done so many things for you and you owe heaven to me. But you see, we're talking about the springboard in Christian living. One becomes a newborn babe in Christ. We pointed out to you in past broadcasts that there are five things that one does according to the Bible, according to the gospel, to become a Christian. He begins by hearing the word of God, and that causes him to have faith. He can have faith. He's got to hear it first. Faith comes by hearing the word of God in Romans 10:17. He repents of his sin. It's a command that he repent in Acts 17:30. Paul said, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He confesses with his mouth what he believes in his heart. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Now, I know that doesn't stop with us saying that we believe that Christ is the Son of God, like the Ethiopian did in the 8th chapter of Acts there before he's baptized. But it does indicate that we're announcing with our mouth what we believe in our heart, that Christ is the Son of God, and we follow that with baptism. Now, this whole thing is a matter of faith. In fact, if anyone doubts that baptism is a matter of faith, Just look at Colossians 2 and 12, where it says we are buried with him in baptism, wherein we are risen with him through faith in the operation of God. We have faith that God will do exactly what he said he would do. Now, it requires action to do all these things. And there's that foundation that we begin building upon. That foundation has been laid there. In Ephesians 2 and 20, it says we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, James is talking in this chapter, chapter 2, about how we build that house, how we build our life. And we build it by a faith that is associated with works or action, the right kind of action. The only way we can be sure that it's the right kind of action, going right back to the study we had with you last time, let's be sure that it's found in the Bible. You know, a lot of times people want to say, well, I can feel it right down in my heart. And I remember a good sister in Pennsylvania telling me years ago, she said, well, it's good to feel it in your heart, but she said you better first find it in the Bible. And I believe that's true. That isn't smarting off. It isn't saying something that's far-fetched. It's simply coming to grips with the practical teaching and the living oracles that we're talking to you about today. Now, this may prompt a lot of questions in your mind from the second chapter of James. I'd ask you to read it again with the idea in mind that every time you find the word works, it's action of our faith or it's righteous deeds of obedience, and you'll find that it'll fit perfectly. Whoever pleased God by disobeying him, whoever pleased God by really failing to do in his life, doing the right thing. We're going to have to leave you again. It's been good to come to your family circle. We'll try to come back next time, and we're going to be looking at the third chapter of James on our next broadcast. Now be with us, friends. Tell your friends and neighbors about the services of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast, and we trust that you'll tell them to listen to the broadcast that we're presenting each week to you. May God bless us all as we obey his marvelous and wonderful truth.